I'm aware biologically that the body can only comprehend what it can endure. So our minds can only get it. And we've eaten lunch and we've had a long, eventful morning. Some unusual things happened. We went a little bit long. So tonight, I just want to say a few things, hopefully. And we want to, through these things, really kind of wrap up all of this meeting into one picture. You know, there really is one picture that God gives us of how to behave in this world. And that is Christ Jesus. He is the embodiment of the mind of God. He is the express image of the Father, the Bible says. He is the exact representation of God's nature. And whenever He lived in this world, He came and gave us an example that those who would follow Him should follow in His steps. If you ever have a question about what is morally right and wrong, if you ever have a question about what is ethically right or wrong, just ask yourself, what would Jesus do? From the information you've gathered from reading about His example, His life, and the events and circumstances that He involved Himself in that is recorded in His Word, we understand through simply, you don't have to be a great scholar and know five languages. All you have to do is know about Jesus and ask yourself, is choosing to do this, would this be something Jesus would choose to do? Would this be a way Jesus would behave or act? Is this a motivation that Christ would have in His life? You know, God knows that not everybody in the church was going to have the ability to read. And long before the printing press, there was this expressed image of God's righteousness in the person of Jesus Christ that He wanted us to carry about in our lives. And so let us remember that God wants us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is really the embodiment of everything that we've talked about this weekend. It's really this. Am I putting on Jesus Christ? The Bible says here in Romans 14, starting reading verse 12, 13, sorry, reading verse 12. The night is almost gone, the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Once again, this terminology is used. Lay aside deeds of darkness. Stop sinning. Notice. And put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and in jealousy. Once again, that comes up that we've mentioned this weekend. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. So this is basically a capsulated form of what we've talked about. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and it'll all make sense. It'll all work itself out. How do I know I'm putting on Christ? How do I know that I'm doing that? Well, there are several quick ways we're going to mention that we know that we put on Jesus Christ. We put on Christ whenever we say in Colossians 3 and verse 4 that Christ is my life. The Bible says when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, we shall appear with Him. Well, Christ is our life. Is He your life? Have you put on Christ to the point where you can't take Him off and live? Where you can't take Him off and accomplish the ambitions you have in life? Where you just simply don't know how to live if you're not having Christ involved in every aspect of our decision making in our life. How can I live naked without Christ, without having put Him on in my life? How? How can I live? That's how we can know, is whenever we can't live without Jesus. When we can't live without His life being expressed through us. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all die. And he who talks about he who lives should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Can you say, I live for Him who died for me? I live for Him. You know, how you make your money and your career is not who you are. Young people, I want you to get that. You are not an electrician. You are a Christian who makes money while working in electricity. You are not a carpenter. You are a person who builds homes, but you're a Christian who makes money by building homes. You are not a mechanic. You are a Christian who provides for your family by working on cars. We've got to stop letting how we make our money define why we live and who we are in this world. For us to live is Christ and to die is gain. For us, we live for Him who died for us. That's who we are. And how we make our money is totally something different. So whenever you're talking about a career, you need to talk about something to supplement your lifestyle, which is Christ. For us to live is Christ. He is our life. And that's how we know we put on Christ. Christ, who is our life? Colossians 3, 4. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. Some people say, well, Glenn, that's fanatical. Well, it's not being a fanatic. There's a lot of people in this world who are fanatics in some ways, and they are unbalanced in their life. But to live for Christ, my friends, is not unbalanced in any way, shape, or form. We do not have to balance worldliness and spirituality. You cannot continue to wear the old man and just put a new coat over the top of it. You can't wear both set of clothes at the same time. You can't patch up one with the other, as we've already noticed, and you can't wear both sets. You've either got to put on Christ or not put on Christ. That's all there is to it. Because Christ will not compromise. Christ will not allow you to do that. We've got to be wholly devoted and zealous for God. Wholehearted devotion is possible. It is possible. In Mark 12, and verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he goes on to say. Heart, soul, mind, strength. We love Him with all of our heart, soul. How is that possible? Is it humanly possible? Yes, it is. Do you know devoted fans to what? Football? Yeah. Those of you from Oklahoma know what a devoted OU fan is. Those of you from Texas, you kind of know, but no. You know what it is to be devoted to a sport? You talk about it. Maybe you've bought some trinkets. Maybe you've got the schedule glued on your refrigerator. Like we do about OU. Perhaps you've got a lot, but your mind, you think about those kinds of things. You talk about them. Is there something similar to Christianity? Yes. You know, if you're a devoted Christian, those are things you spend time on. That's a mark of devotion. Whenever you talk about those things, when you try to get other people excited about what you're excited about. Isn't that, it's true in sports. Why isn't it in religion? Aren't you excited about what Jesus Christ does for you? Aren't you excited about all that He has done in your life and the peace and joy He's given to you? It is special. And sometimes no amount of time is enough to really get in. We don't get everything done that we'd like to do. You know, if you're a painter or you're into some hobby, you know how sometimes you almost feel distracted whenever you have to work and do responsible things because you want to get back to what you really enjoy. Perhaps you're devoted to golf. Perhaps you're devoted to tennis. What about video games? Any video game addicts here? Yes. You see, whenever we want to do those things, we'll even put off sometimes a meal to do that. Is that the way it feels for your spirituality? Do sometimes you study your Bible and you just get so into it, or maybe prayer, or maybe working with someone or talking with someone, that you just forget about everything else? That's how you know you've put on Christ. It's whenever it's part of your life, it's part of your ambition, it's part of what energizes you. You don't get burned out, as the Bible says. You talk about, well, I'm going to skip through some of my things. In Acts 17:17, the way noticed Jesus was reasoning in the synagogue and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. Paul was. Paul was passionate, wasn't he, about Jesus. He was in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. He would talk to anybody about the Lord. And my friends, we try to create opportunities. Don't just be passive in your evangelism. I'm here, Lord, and if anyone ever asks me about Jesus, I'll be ready. You know, Paul just didn't go and stand in the marketplace waiting for somebody to come up and say, do you know anything about Jesus? He didn't do that. He was ready. He was asking other people about what they believed. He was talking to them about the hope of the resurrection. He was taking any spiritual type conversation that he could come up with and turning it to talk about Jesus. He even looked at a bunch of people in their superstitious religions and he says, I'm going to explain to God who of all of these gods. And he told them about the God of Mars Hill. That's what I'm talking about. Whenever you see your friends have some kind of religious discussion, whenever a moral or ethical issue comes up in class, are you prepared and ready and saying, now's an opportunity to speak about the Lord. Now's an opportunity. You know, I heard this week, I was talking with some young people about a girl who happened to get pregnant. And some other kids stepped in and started talking to her about abortion. And about how she shouldn't get an abortion. And that was a very wonderful application of that. Now, my friends, that's what I'm talking about. We as God's children and God's people need to be prepared to take any arena, and recognize God fits in any arena of life. For it is Him who is life. It is Him who is our life. So take Jesus into every conversation you can get Him into. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power for salvation to anyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Young people, this is how you know you put on Christ. Whenever you're not ashamed for people to notice that you put on Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's power to save. Don't be ashamed of reading your Bible at lunchtime. Don't be ashamed of thanking God for your meal. Don't be ashamed of defending the cause of Christ to your friends, even to your enemies. That's how you know that you put on Jesus Christ. It's whenever you're not embarrassed for the gospel's sake. When you're really into something, it's impossible to conceal it. It's going to come out. People are going to notice. They will either ask you questions from good motives, or they'll ask you questions to argue with you from evil motives. But you will not be ignored if you've put on Jesus Christ. You will not be ignored. Whenever Jesus was in this world, He tried. He tried to do what is good. But did He reap what He sowed? Did the great peacemaker reap what He sowed? Did the great reconciler reap what He sowed? No. There were those who hated His presence. His presence made them feel uncomfortable. And they had to kill Him to get Him out of their midst. And my friends, your putting on Jesus Christ is going to make some of your friends uncomfortable because of the clothing they wear. And because of the way they act, the jokes they tell, the things they're entertained by, and the things they receive pleasure by. And they're going to be uncomfortable by you. And if they're not uncomfortable by you, that means you're hiding Jesus Christ. You need to let Jesus Christ be so much a part of your life that your friends don't ask you to sin. They're embarrassed whenever they have to admit that they're going to a party without you. They need to make a difference because of who you are and who you're wearing in your life. I remember in high school, I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He came up and he said, Glenn, I'm sorry, but you're not invited to the party. And I said, you know what? That is the most encouraging thing you have ever said to me. I'm glad you didn't ask me. You know? Aren't you glad when people don't include you sometimes? Because your presence makes them uncomfortable. That's the way it should be, my friends. Don't feel bad when, because you have on Christ, others may leave you out. That's how you know
that you don't need to be embarrassed by being in the presence of God. I'd rather be in the presence of God and outside of the presence of some friends that tempt me than to be embarrassed and try to say, Lord, would you please not go with me? Lord, I'm going to have to leave you now, and I want to go with my friends, but I can't go with you. My friends, if you ever have to separate from the Lord to go somewhere, you don't need to be going there. If you have to go someplace where you have to leave your Bible behind, or they would be embarrassed for you to pray, you don't need to be there, and you don't need to be embarrassed. Do not be embarrassed by the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. That's how you know you put on Christ. Whenever you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, self-sacrifice isn't a problem. You know, when you really love someone, you'll spend time with them. When you really love someone, you will work with them, and you don't mind them calling. Now, somebody you really don't like, sometimes you get irritated at calling, don't you? You know, you take out the cell phone and you go, oh, it's them again. You know, tell them to leave a message. You know. But someone you love, you go, oh, they've called again. They called again. Isn't this wonderful? We're happy. We're thrilled. That's what I mean about Jesus Christ. Self-sacrifice, it's not a problem when God interrupts our life for His will. It's just not a problem. We're willing to sacrifice. Lord, here am I. Send me. Not here am I. Send them. How many times in the church, whenever people have got up and spoke about evangelism, we kind of go, yeah, man, I wish somebody would do something. But, you know, Lord, not me. Lord, not me. Delmer and I wrote a song, which I will not sing for you at this moment. It was based on that song, To the Work, To the Work. We are children of God. Only we retitled it, Shirk the Work, Shirk the Work. Because that's so often we always sing. Flag of the slothful, our banner shall be. I guess I am going to sing it. As we cry to the Lord, send someone else but not me. Is that what we sing? You know, we want somebody else to do the work of the church. Are we members of the church? But we say, yes, the church ought to work. And I'm thinking of everyone except me. That's not it. My friends, if we're involved, we don't mind a personal sacrifice. We need to say to ourselves, Lord, even if no one else, I will. Leave him, Lord, even if everyone else leaves you, I will not leave you. We need to make that kind of commitment to the Lord, because no act of self-sacrifice is too large for the Lord. He is Lord. And that's how we know we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, is whenever we're willing to do anything for the Lord. My feelings aren't as important as the cause of Jesus Christ. My entertainment isn't as important as the cause of Jesus Christ. My leisure isn't as important as the cause of Jesus Christ. My recreation isn't as important as the cause of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in my life that is more important than the cause of Jesus Christ. Nothing. When we get there, then we'll really know we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're willing to sacrifice for Him. When Christ, who is my life, is revealed, then we will be revealed with Him. I can do everything. I can keep myself pure for the cause of Jesus Christ. I will live for Him and not my own agenda. I will suffer for Him. Even I will die for Him. Are we ready? Are we ready to die for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When we do that, then attendance will be a breeze, Bible study will be candy, and we'll be ready to do anything and everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I just want to say, young people and older people alike, whether you're 18 or 20, or as we've said this week, 20 with 30 years experience, you know, I don't care what your age is, as long as we have life, we need to ask ourselves, we need to periodically reflect and test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We need to ask ourselves if we have clothing that is pure and spotless, or if we have not
made ourselves right, not allowed the Lord to cleanse us from our sins. Have you been baptized into Christ? If you're here and you've not become a Christian yet, I want you to know following the Lord is not cheap. It's going to cost you everything. In fact, you're going to have to be a living sacrifice in order to follow Jesus. Because Jesus will not take part of your life. He won't take a few moments of your life. He won't take a few hours on Sunday and one or two on Wednesday. He's going to take the whole thing. He's going to take your fathering. He's going to take your mothering. He's going to take your husbanding and your wifing. He's going to take your child, your being a child. You're going to have to serve the Lord whenever you talk to your mom and dad, whenever you obey your mother and father. You're going to be serving God whenever you help your brothers and sisters. You're going to be helping whenever the church asks you to do something. You're going to be serving. Guess what? It's more than just what you do in worship. It's how you live your life. How you relate to others in this world. That's how you know you put on Jesus. Jesus is not something you put on just before you come to the worship of the church. He's not something you reach over and put on just before you come to church. Jesus is something you put on and you leave on for the rest of your life. Because He is your life. So today, have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps if you've not become a Christian, Galatians 3:27 says that you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Perhaps you need to put Him on. You need to make that decision. You need to, in your faith, repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized and put on Jesus. Get rid of your old life, bury Him, Romans 6, in a watery grave of baptism, and be united with Him in the likeness of His death, so that you could be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection, and be raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 through 5. That's how you get to put on Christ. But then once you put Him on, you want to present yourself, as Ephesians says, before God, spotless. Jesus wants to present the church to Himself spotless, having no spot or wrinkle. We want to be presentable before God. And if you've got sin in your life, Christian, you need to get rid of that spot. You need to get rid of it. Don't be happy and just go, You need to cleanse yourself to be presentable when the Lord comes back again. Are you ready? Are you ready? You need to cleanse yourself of that. Perhaps you need to confess your faults one to another. Perhaps you need to repent, pray God. Perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Whatever you take, you need to get rid of that thing so that you will be presentable to God. Because there's one more garment. There's one more spiritual garment that's going to happen to all of us, Lord, one day. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. No, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5. He says there's going to be a day when we're going to lay aside this flesh. We're going to lay aside it as a garment, and we will lay it aside. And then, in the resurrection, we'll receive a garment from God, spiritual body, a body, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, a house for our spirit, a clothing for our spirit, that God has prepared for those who will faithfully serve Him here in this world. My friends, that's a fact of life. No matter what your age, you could meet the Lord immediately. You can meet the Lord. You can put off that old, this body, this fleshly body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At Texas Tech, about 5 years ago, there was a girl that was 19 years old. And they found her in her dorm room. She didn't come to class. And they did an autopsy on her. They did toxicology tests. They checked her heart. They checked everything about her. They did every forensic test that you have ever seen on television, CSI. They did everything. And you know what? There should have been no reason why that girl died. None. They found no reason that being a 19-year-old, she should have died. None. That means she was perfectly healthy and dead. Spirit could step out of your body at any moment. So, my question to you is, have you put on Christ?
Because if you put on Christ, then regardless of what happens to your body, you're ready to meet God. Fear not him which can destroy the body, but rather fear him which can destroy both soul and body in hell. So today, the question is, today, have I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?